broadcasting live from the beautiful Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa in Young Harris, Georgia, 2016 Business Writers Conference. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, and we're here at the Writers Conference, Business Writers Conference 2016. Stone, you learn anything?
I am learning a ton. This has been so much fun today. I've had a blast. I've learned a great deal. I don't think this segment is going to be any exception. This guy is on the platform. He's one of the speakers at the conference. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, author, speaker, trainer, just all around great guy, Paul Smith. How are you, man?
I'm very good. Thank you for that introduction. I need to add all around great guy to my business card now. I like that.
Well, Paul, I am fascinated by your expertise, storytelling expert and author of the bestseller, Lead with a Story. Can you tell us a good story about how you became a storytelling expert?
Well, it probably took me 15 years of my 20 years at P&G to even realize that I needed to be a good storyteller. Mm-hmm. I had a very traditional corporate career path. I got an MBA. I got hired at Procter & Gamble, a typical kind of career path there. And probably 15 years in, it occurred to me, if I really wanted to be successful, I needed to be a good storyteller. I was looking at the leaders that I most admired, that I wanted to work for, that I wanted to kind of be like when I grew up in the company. And it occurred to me that those people were exceptional storytellers, but they didn't teach me that in business school. They didn't teach me that when I joined the company. None of the training courses I ever went to even mentioned it. And so it slowly, perhaps I'm just a slow learner, but it eventually occurred to me that that's a skill I needed to have. And they just, unless you study creative writing or in the theater department or something in college, you're not going to get that. So I set out on my own learning journey to learn how to be a better storyteller. And I ended up interviewing over 100 CEOs and executives, companies all over the world. It's over 300 now, to ask them, what situations are they in when they're telling stories? What stories are they telling? And did it work?
Right? But are they doing the stories? Are they telling the stories on purpose? Or are they just, that's just part of their shtick, is to tell stories?
Usually the latter. Usually the people that do it a lot, it's just the way that they lead.
Communicate.
Yeah.
Right.
And those are the ones that I was gravitating towards. And, mm-hmm. and I want, when you say, were they doing it intentionally? I teach people to do it intentionally, but once you do it really well, it won't look that way.
Right.
It will feel like that's just how you communicate.
But some people that lead with, this is how it is, and I'm just telling you, this is the 8-step process.
Yes.
And
yeah, they're bosses.
It's very tactical.
Yeah,
they're
bossing people around. And right. That's how we were taught to lead, just to tell people, here's the vision, and here are the 5 things you need to do to go to get that done.
And
start on number one, go.
Right. Tell me next week how we're doing.
But exactly. That makes for an incredibly boring book, don't you think?
It would.
A boring meeting, but certainly.
It makes for a boring career, too.
Right.
So that's why I wanted to get away from that. I would rather work for the people and wanted to be one of those people that told stories to lead.
But so you noticed this on your own, mm-hmm. and P&G is known for their training. Mm-hmm. So, and it was not part of it. But you just noticed it. You were like, I'm gravitating more to people who are telling me stories. Stories right. are what I remember. Stories are making an impact in my life. Maybe I should be either collecting stories or learning about how to implement stories effectively.
Right. Yeah, and I guess at some point along that personal learning journey, it occurred to me, well, if I want to know this that badly, perhaps there are other people that would want to know it. And so it turned into a book idea and not just Paul Smith's personal learning journey.
Right. Right.
So that's where that first book came from.
And then did you pitch that to a publisher?
Yes. Yeah, in fact, oddly enough, my publisher is here, my editor, and I'd never met him until yesterday until I showed up.
Is that because, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, he works in New York, I'm in Ohio, you know, we've of course, we've been working together for a couple of years, but I've never seen the guy face to face. I couldn't pick him out
great.
Of a crowd of two, right? Yeah, I'm checking in at the hotel, and I told the lady my name, and the guy next to me is like, you're Paul Smith? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, I'm Stephen Power. Oh,
you edited my book.
You did. Great. Nice to meet you finally.
Yeah, that's funny.
So how did you get in this circle of folks with the Jack and Patty and this Business Writers Exchange crowd?
Yeah, well, Jack reached out to me. He read my book a couple of years ago and just called me 6 or 8 months ago and said, hey, I'm putting together this conference. We've never done this before. We'd love you to come, keynote it. Apparently they have, of course, write lots of books. They've got more experience writing books than I do, but
right.
apparently they've started writing their books a little bit differently now after reading mine. They include more stories in them. And so I guess he wanted
That's got to feel good. Yeah.
So now, can you share some of the stories that have made an impact in your life?
I'll tell you the one that kind of got me here. I shared it with this group yesterday. Along this journey of writing a book, I did it all while I still had a full-time job at P&G, because who knew?
Did you tell them that you were doing this, or this was kind of on the down low?
No, I mean, when I started thinking about it and first was piddling around with it, there was no need to tell anybody. But once I'd signed a contract with a publisher and it was really something I was serious at pursuing, I told all the appropriate people. I didn't want to create any conflict of interest and all that kind of stuff. And they were very, very generous supportive with me to let me do that. And I would take vacation time for all the time I was spending doing it. So it was all on the up and up. Once I had written the book and it came out, I had no idea if it would do well, if it would launch me into a new career. I was kind of hoping that it would, but I had to wait and see. And once I waited and saw, and I get now the book's, I think it's in its eighth printing and it's in six or eight languages around the world. But early on, when I could just see that it was going to do well enough to maybe give me another career, I'd mentally decided I want to go do this for a living. But the truth is, I just didn't have the guts to do it. I mean, I got two kids to put through college, a wife at home. So I literally asked my dad for some advice. And he was 80 years old at the time, lived 600 miles away, and he's hard of hearing now, so I can't even call him on the phone anymore. So I literally write him a letter. And so he's 80, right? So he doesn't do computers. So I can't even send him an email. Right. So when I say I write him a letter, I mean literally I'm writing him a letter, right? And licking a stamp and putting it in the mail and waiting for the Pony Express to deliver it. And I just ask him, what should I do? Should I quit my job? I'm only 46 years old. I can't retire. I mean, and I was just waiting for him to come give me some fatherly advice, which I assumed would be, are you crazy? Just five more years, maybe you could retire or whatever, And he wrote me back and he told me a story I'd never heard before, and neither had any of my siblings, right? He said, when I was 5 years old, I knew exactly what I wanted to do with my life. He said, I wanted to be a singer, like Tony Bennett or Frank Sinatra, that was his genre, right? He's in his 80s. And he said, I knew that the first day of kindergarten. And he said, I get there and the teacher asked all the students if anybody had any special talent, like dancing or magic tricks. Right. And he said, I raised my hand and I said, I'm a singer. Despite the fact that he'd never sung in front of anybody other than his mom in the kitchen, right? Right. And so, of course, what does she do?
Come up here.
Exactly. Sing us a song, Bobby, right? So little Bobby gets up and I belted out my favorite song right there, a cappella, in front of the teacher and the students. And he said, I nailed it.
Right. Killed
I got
it.
All the words right, all the melody. I was so proud. He said, the teacher and the other students stood up and they applauded me.
Wow.
And he said, that's the moment I knew that this is what I was destined to do with my life. And he went on in this letter that I'm reading that I had to wait 2 weeks to get, right? And I go on, I read on and it says, unfortunately, that turned out not just to be the first time in my life that I ever sang in front of an audience. It turned out to be the last time I ever sang in front of an audience. Hmm. So, life got in the way. Grew up, met your mom, had babies, got a job, all that kind of stuff. He said, but the truth is, I just never had the courage to pursue it. Wow. And he said, that was 75 years ago and not a month goes by that I don't regret that. And he said, someday you're going to wake up, you're going to be 80 years old like me, and it's going to be too late to pursue this dream. And as if that wasn't enough, because right then I'm sold, right? But he finishes this letter out in his scribbly little handwriting. He says, I'd love to see you achieve your dream. But that doesn't mean in your lifetime, son. That means in mine. And I'm like, wow, TikTok, right? So no kidding. 2 days later, I walk into my boss's office and I quit my job.
Wow.
And that's exactly what I needed at that moment in time to give me the courage to do this. And that was 3 years ago now, and it's absolutely the best decision I ever made. So
is your dad still around?
He is, thank goodness. So he has gotten to see me achieve this dream. Now it could all fall apart next month. You never know.
Well, why don't you kind of reverse it on him? Go, look, I want you to sing.
That's right.
And you got 2 weeks.
That's right. That's right. I want to see
put
you.
Put the pressure on him. See how he likes that.
Well, Carnegie Hall, Dad.
This is the guy I want to interview. I mean, that is just incredible what he did for you.
That
is amazing.
Yeah. In fact, there are a few stories about him in a couple of my books. He's definitely an inspirational guy.
So you're here teaching and sharing what is, I'm sure, very valuable information for some of these existing authors and aspiring authors. Are you learning some stuff while you're here too?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I'll admit this, I make most of my living from doing keynote speeches and training, and I teach executives how to be better leaders through storytelling. You know, the author thing, as you probably know and have learned from events like this, the books, the royalties from my books is only like 15% of my income, even though I spend most of my time researching and writing books. So it's kind of the, one of those reverse Pareto principle things. I spend 75% of my time researching and writing books, 25% of my time doing this, but I make 85% of my money doing this and only 15%. No. So it's kind of weird, but if I don't write those books, nobody wants to.
You don't have the foundation.
Speak, right?
Yeah.
But so I go to a lot of conferences like this because that's how I make my living. And I fly in the night before, I get up, I do the keynote. By lunch, I'm gone. You know, I'm on an airplane that afternoon, right? This is a 3-day conference. I'm staying for all 3 days. The first time I've ever attended.
How's that for an endorsement?
Yeah, because it's absolutely these are my people, right? These are me. Everybody in that audience is like me. They've either already written books or they want to write some books, and so absolutely, I've already learned from everybody so far, and I'm staying for the next 2 days to keep.
So, as a speaker, you're benefiting from the participants as well as the other speakers.
Yeah. Well, you always do that. That's one of the, you know, when you're a speaker, well, when you're a keynote speaker, you're talking at people. You don't get feedback. When you teach a workshop, there's a lot of interaction. Right. And I always learn a lot. In fact, much of what's in my third book is stuff I've learned from the hundreds of classes that I've taught from the people in the class. So yes, I learned a little bit when I was talking, but mostly I'm learning from the other speakers. You know, I was up there for an hour yesterday, and I've got an hour and a half tomorrow. But the rest of those 3 days, it's 20 other people that I'm here to listen to.
Right.
And I'm learning from all of them so far.
So where can our listeners go to learn more about you, have a conversation with you, or maybe register for some of your classes or coaching or counseling?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So it's leadwithastory.com. So Lead With A Story is the name of my first book. So it's leadwithastory.com. And I do blogging and some podcasts and stuff like that as well. But you can get all my books there in the information on training and things like that.
This has been fantastic. I told you he was a great guy.
You called it.
It was a little bit of a leap of faith because we really didn't know him that well. But now we know he and his father are both great guys. So this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for hanging out with us for a little bit.
Well, you're welcome, but you just cost me money now because I got to go get new business cards with all around great guy. I'll squeeze that in there somewhere. I like that. Much, much more interesting title than author.
All right. Thank you. We'll be back in a few from Business Writers Conference 2016.